Like to call to order the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council. It's called to order at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, September 12th. I'll ask Councilman Dungal to read the mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you, Councilman Dungal. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Present.
Mr. Dungal?
Here.
Mr. Tudyakov?
Here. Thank you. Councilman Nicholson is excused, and we do have a quorum. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I'll ask Councilman Robinson to lead us.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Robinson. I want to welcome everyone here in the City Council chambers. Thank you for being with us this evening. I want to take a moment to thank the Unalaska Fire Department, the Unalaska EMTs, and first responders, our clinics personnel. Yesterday was 9/11. There's a great program on about what happened and went on for about an hour, 2 hours, but it reminds us that people who take the oath to be firemen take a lot of responsibility, and they know what they have to do to get their job done. And I want to say thank you to all of them. And we have guests here this evening with LifeMed, Peggy Jones and Holly Demmert. They're front or wait. There you go. Thank you for being here. We also have Eagleview Elementary Principal Sherry Tamarco. Where are you? There you are. Thanks for being here. Eric Hernandez, Deputy Utilities Director. Where is he? There he is. All right. Alicia McDonald. Rab. And families of the fire department who are here this evening, thank you for being here with us. This time, next item is recognition, awards, and presentations. Recognition of 25 years of city employment anniversary. I'll ask Gilbert Chachavera, Department from Public Works. Gavaria. Okay, sorry, Gilbert. And then we got Brian Rankin, Department of Public Works. Please step up to the front here.
Mic test.
First one I have here to present is to Gilbert Chavarrera. Chavarrera, I'll get it right yet. The City of Unalaska honors you for 25 years of meritorious service with the City of Unalaska. Your professionalism, knowledge, skill, and dedication have been of exceptional value to the City of Unalaska. Your fellow staff members, the Unalaska City Council, and the community thanks you for 25 years of service with the city, June 1998 to June 2023. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Good job.
And ask Brian Rankin, step up here. The City of Unalaska honors you for your 25 years of meritorious service with the City of Unalaska. Your professionalism, knowledge, skill, and dedication have been of exceptional value to the City of Unalaska. Your fellow staff members, Unalaska City Council, and the community thanks you for 25 years of service with the city. July to 2023. Congratulations. Thank you very much for your service. We have this next part of them.
Yes,
sir. Here, I want this one.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a couple words too. In the capacity of the public works director, I've only been able to work with him in this capacity for about 6 or 7 months, but I've been fortunate to work with them pretty much since they started here. I think you guys just had a brand new building when you started. Yeah, it was just a brand new public works building. You know, now it's showing its age, but when I first met these two, we all had all our hair and it was all no gray in it, so it's been a while. But anyway, we're all here to celebrate the remarkable achievement of 25 years of service with Gilbert and Brian. This milestone is a testament to their unwavering commitment, hard work, and loyalty. Brian and Gilbert has played a pivotal role in the city's organization, leaving a lasting impact on projects, on the teams that they've worked with. Their dedication, leadership, and positive attitude has set an inspiring example for all. In the world of constant change, Brian and Gilbert have shown that dedication and love for the work are the keys to success. We congratulate them on this incredible journey and look forward to their continued contributions. Let's all congratulate Gilbert and Brian for their dedication, perseverance, and looking forward to the next 25 years.
Thank you, Scott. Our next item B on the awards and presentation is the badge pinning and ceremony for the newly promoted career fire department staff. Turns over to the city.
Thank you, Mayor. We'll go ahead and do the oath of office first for these firefighters. So if you could please raise your right hand just a second. So I'll hold the other mic. So if you could.
Just all together.
And then we're gonna do it all together, the oaths, and then we'll pin one by one. So if you could follow after me. I state your name. Do hereby declare that I will support the Constitution of the United States. Do hereby declare that I will support the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution and the laws of the State of Alaska, and the members I serve with, and that as a member of the City of Unalaska Fire Department, my fundamental duty is to serve the people. I swear to protect, to safeguard and preserve life, health and property against fire and other perils, and to maintain a proficiency in the fire service. I will uphold the standards of my profession, continually searching for new and improved methods of serving the people, and will share my knowledge and skill to my colleagues and descendants. I will never allow my personal feelings nor danger to self deter me from the responsibilities as a firefighter. I will, at all times, respect the property and rights of all people, the laws of my country, and the members I serve with. I recognize the badge of my office as a symbol of public faith and trust, and accept so long as I am true to the ethics of the fire service. I will constantly strive to achieve the objectives and ideals that the fire service instills, dedicating myself to the saving of life, preventing and suppressing fires, and performing others' duties enacted and placed up to me. As a member of the City of Unalaska Fire Department, I accept this self-imposed and self-enforced obligation as my responsibility and make these promises so solemnly, freely, and upon my honor.
Thank you.
All right, at this time we'll do the individual. And in true Unalaska fashion, our uniforms did not make it, so we can't actually do a pinning, but we will be doing a knighting. I don't know. We're going to put them with chain over their head. So will the representative for Captain Gibson come up here? Is that Emily? So David came to Unalaska in 2016 to pursue a career in education. In 2019, the fire department stole him away from that. David's been nothing short of instrumental to the department, and he's a really go-getter, working hard and very community-oriented. He will be assigned to A shift as a supervisor, overseeing Battalion A. And I present to you Captain David Gibson. Next up is Captain Ariana Morales. She actually came up here and began as a processor with UNIC in 2017. Shortly after that, she became a dispatcher, communications officer with the Department of Public Safety. Shortly after that, the fire department also stole her away. Ariana is full of creativity, and all of the special events that you see happening really wouldn't be possible without her at the forefront of that. Ariana will be assigned to the shift supervisor of B shift and overseeing Battalion B. Firefighter Karen Mackey came to Unalaska in 2020. She actually came to be the collections manager for the museum. She began as a volunteer in 2021, and the very first training, I believe, we played Ultimate Frisbee, and she kicked our butts. So I remember that quite vividly. She's been backfilling a vacant career position. She will be assigned to A shift, and she was also stolen away from the museum. Sorry, Ginny. And last but not least, we have firefighter Lizzie Tran. Born and raised in Unalaska, she departed the island shortly after graduating from UCSD to pursue post-secondary education. She returned in 2022. She too has been backfilling a vacant career position, and we're excited to see what the future holds. She'll be assigned to B shift.
Congratulations to the newly appointed positions in our Unalaska Fire Department. Okay. Thank you very much. Adoption. I need a motion to adopt the agenda and a second.
Move to adopt the agenda.
A second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, Councilman, seconded by Councilman Luby.
Make a motion to amend the agenda to add travel to a joint Alaska Superintendent Association meeting, AML meeting, in Anchorage on the 27th through the 30th of September.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Bell to amend the agenda to insert travel, and that was for, I didn't get it.
It's the ASA / joint AML meeting.
Okay. This is our discussion. Hearing none. Roll call on the amendment to adjourn to the agenda.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote, the amendment passes. Change to adopt to the agenda at 6-0. And we have back to the adoption of the agenda. Is there any objection to adopting the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Next item, we have a motion and second to approve the proposed minutes of August 8th meeting.
I move to approve the minutes of previous meeting, August 8th, 2023.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Robinson. Are there any objections passing these minutes? Hearing none, the proposed minutes are approved. Next item is the city manager's report. I'll turn this over to the city manager for his report.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So you have before you the report for the last month. We haven't, that's quite a long time, because remember we didn't meet the second some regularly scheduled meeting in August. I will point out a few things. I'm happy to answer any questions about anything on here. But the barge, the kind of barge metal recycling and getting cars off the island project, even though I knew they were coming sometime in August, I learned very short notice that it was going to be here. And we had, obviously the trilateral, we hadn't figured out an entire program yet, so we didn't want to waste that barge. They wound up coming over to use the ramp by the landfill and clear out what metal we had and the cars that were there. With the announcement, I don't have a schedule yet for the barges, because obviously I want that, because that's what we have to build this program around. And I heard there was a lot of, you know, concerns why there wasn't a lot of time and don't use the barge. It, the first one really wasn't scheduled or planned very well. So I hope to do better, and that's our plan. The other thing I'd like to point out is that ACDOT is going to take another look at, Department of Transportation, excuse me, is going to take another look at the unfunded project in the STIP. So we've put in a letter to please reconsider our project as well as some of our partners, including OC. The classification and compensation study for unrepresented employees, our consultant was out August 28th and 29th. I got to meet with the person. I was very pleased with some of the summary, just the initial concepts and the questions that I received. So that's moving along. Staffing update, you've probably heard this enough times, but there are four new hires that will be starting for the Deputy Director of Utilities, which is Eric Hernandez, a Finance Director being former Finance Director Patricia Soule, she was here in the past. Police Chief is Kim Hankins. He's from Illinois, about 40 years of experience. And then most of you, I believe, know Cameron Dean. He worked in the Planning Department. He's our GIS Administrator. And while I'm sure people are going to enjoy their new chapter in life, Chris Chamberlain, she retired, her last day was September 8th. And Steve Tompkins, our Utilities Director, his last day will be September 29th, and he's in the audience tonight. The only other thing that I wanted to point out is we did have the firm on island yesterday to look at the rock scaling project. I don't have a report or scope or anything yet back, but they were just here yesterday. So we should be hearing about that soon. And then I'm planning to be off island from September, basically 16th through October 16th. So I will be in contact with Margie, who will be the acting city manager. We have a schedule worked out. And I was gone 1 week and I was uncomfortable. So you'll be hearing from me probably. Any questions? Oh boy. Yeah, that's a short vacation. No. Yeah, I should do. No, the 17th of October. Thank you for pointing that out. Oh, sorry.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the city manager on his report? You haven't heard from the Navy representative on the fuel issue yet, that was you're dealing with, extra charges or whatever it was.
The police department had worked out what had happened with that. Unfortunately, I don't think I have. Oh, Trevor, if you can. But it was clear in the contract that that fee was supposed to be covered by the scheduler.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for city manager? None. Thanks. Thank you for your report. Next item is community input and announcement. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, state your name, and welcome.
Roger Blakely, Parks and Recreation, Parks, Culture and Recreation Director. You know, it's that time again, it's fall and we're coming into basketball season and it's time to sign up for your youth for basketball. Signups are for children K through 8. The last day the signups will be available is September 17th. And we want you to sign up and come. We're still needing coaches and referees, and we thank you for your support. We have a new program that we're going to start, and it's we are now accepting enrollment for our community choir. Practices will be on Sunday from 5:30 to 7 in the music room at PCR. $10 to join. And for you that like to sing, this is a great way to just sing your heart out for the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Good evening, and my name is Alyssa McDonald. I'm representing the University of Alaska Fairbanks, Bristol Bay campus here in Unalaska. and I'm here to share some information about what's going on. We have three classes I thought that the community might want to know about. The first one that's coming up, actually, I'm not sure this is in order, but Laura Zimmon is doing, and the tribes might be interested, in a professor of, she is the assistant professor of tribal governance instructing online. It's a tribal governance course that they're giving for 3 credits. You'll get tools and methods for management and oversight of the tribal government programs and organizations. Student evaluation includes how well the student affects change in tribal operations and management. And that class is October 3rd through December 12th, Tuesday and Thursdays from 3 to 5 p.m. There is an exciting opening with the Unalaska Learning Center, which we're located, in case you guys don't know, right down at the high school. There's the middle school side, the Broadway side. Let's see, that would be closer to the church. And we're the building on the outside of that between the playground. So Jill Spetz and I are there working out programs for the university to bring to our local people. So if you have interest in furthering your education, or maybe you're a couple credits away from your degree, or want to start a degree, that's where you'd start. Just come down to the office. We're going to have an open house October 11th and 12th in the evenings. We haven't set the time. There will be a workshop, a writing workshop, probably poetry and storytelling. And then that weekend, Alaska Sea Grant and the Bristol Bay Campus are offering an in-person crew class. So this is open to the community. It's an AMSEA certification, so you can learn the basics of being a commercial fisherman. Crew members like tying knots, survival suits, and flares. It's a 3-day event that's taking place October 13, 14, and 15. So that whole week will be all about what's happening down there. Then there's this very exciting class to me. Chandler Camp, who's our assistant professor of sustainable energy, is giving a class on home energy basics. It's a 1-credit class, but it's pertinent because all of us have seen the utility bills, right? And if you have a house here and you are living in a home, there's so many ways that we can do things to clean it up and make it more energy efficient. This is a 1-credit course. It's a home energy basics. You'll get fun tools like this. You guys can't see online, but this is a kilowatt. It's a little machine you put in, you plug into your appliance, you put it to the wall, and it actually finds out how much you guys are using. Kids would be really welcome in this course. I think everybody understanding how much a kilowatt costs here should be interested in this class. It's a 1-credit class starting October 16th, going through December 8th. It's asynchronous, which means there's no set time and you can do it online. And you'll get a credit. You're going to learn about energy transfer concepts and building efficiency standards, healthy indoor air quality, and a whole lot more. So to register, if you have any questions, please give Jill or myself a call at the Unalaska Learning Center, 581-1666. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, Emlyn Crane, USAVE. USAVE is getting ready for our Make a Difference Dinner for Suicide Prevention Awareness on Friday, September 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the small gym at the high school. We hope everyone will join us for a delicious, free, and healthy dinner, spend some time with friends and family, learn about local and other resources, and discover how to make a difference in someone else's life and in your own life too. It's really important for our community leaders to show up to these events, especially this one in light of things recently. Send a message to the kids that'll be there that you think that mental health is important and it's okay to talk about it. So I hope you'll come. The food is always really good, and if you participate at a certain level, you will get a chance to win some pretty cool prizes. We hold this event in collaboration with many community partners, and we're excited that we will have some new cohorts at this year's dinner. One of those new partners is Dustin Morris, the area director for the Alaska chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Not only will Dustin be hosting a table at our dinner, but he'll be coming out earlier the week of the 29th, and USAVE is working with him to set up some other educational outreach activities throughout the community with various community groups. We are also coordinating with the Office of Children's Services and the Alaska Center for Resource Families for them to co-host a table at our dinner in the hope of recruiting more folks to become foster parents or even emergency temporary foster parents. I know there have been some sticky situations recently where we've had a teen that needed a safe place for the night, and USAVE can't admit unaccompanied minors, so we've all been kind of scrambling to find a safe place for those kids. So hopefully having a few more emergency homes licensed will help in those kinds of situations. USAVE is also tentatively planning to screen a documentary at the library the very next day after our dinner, September 30, which is Orange Shirt Day. Orange Shirt Day is a national holiday. It's the National Day of Remembrance for U.S. Indian boarding schools and began as a day to bring attention to the damage that the residential school system did to Indigenous children and cultures. This day honors the experiences of Native people, celebrates resilience, and affirms that every child matters. We're still testing streaming the documentary that we want to show, so we'll keep you posted about that. Optumera, which has been a great supporter of USAVE for many years, is planning to hold their annual Christmas for Kids program again this year, probably starting in November. They collect toys and cash, and USAVE distributes the toys and uses the funds to pay for clothes, toys, books for families that need a little extra cheer during the holidays, with any leftover money going to help pay for the holiday food boxes that we do for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Russian Christmas. And then finally, we really need volunteer crisis line advocates. If you'd like more information about taking the training to become a crisis line advocate, please get in touch with me at 907-581-1500 or any other USAVE staff member. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Noel Ray, CEO of the clinic. Just informal, but wanted to brag about our staff. We just finished our first on-site joint commission review for the first time in 3 years. Came in unannounced and review all the aspects of our building, from governance to clinical quality care to patient management, and we passed. They always find a few things that we're working on, but we'll get our accreditation again, and that's good for another 3 years. So if you see any of the staff, pat them on the back. They did a great job. They're very stressful surveys when they come unannounced and dig through all of your stuff to find the things you're doing wrong. So 2 days long, they survived it, but they did very, very well, for especially being unannounced. So just pass it along.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else like to make an announcement or community input? Okay, thanks. Next on our agenda is the public comment on agenda items. This is the time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda if they don't want to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, use a microphone, and state your name. You get 3 minutes. Does anyone wish to speak on agenda items? Public input. Is it public input?
Just, yeah, it was I forgot. And the early voting and absentee voting opens tomorrow, am I correct? Tomorrow morning at 8?
Yes,
tomorrow. Early voting and absentee voting it will be available.
Correct. I'm going to make that announcement later on in the meeting. But yes, we'll have the absentee in person. We'll start tomorrow at 8. Folks can request for absentee via email or via fax or in person. So.
Okay, thank you. And we'll make that announcement again later. All right. Hearing no, are there any written comments? Anyone on the Zoom, telephone?
No one indicated that they wanted to make a comment, sir.
Okay, thank you. Next is the public comment. It's a work session. Next up is a work session. I have a motion and second going to a work session.
Move to go into a work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Tungo. Hearing no objection, we're in a work session at 9:35 p.m. I'm 6:35. What am I looking at? I want to get done early. That's 6:35. Okay, we're in work session. I'll turn to capital projects, first item, and I'll turn this over to city manager to introduce.
Thank you, members of council and mayor. Tonight is Scott's first foray into a deeper
review of our active capital project. I can say he's put in a lot of work, done a lot of looking through files and questioning how things are working. There's always a stray project that might belong in capital projects, those sort of things. I'd say tonight, for some of the projects, probably the biggest ones we have, Kaplan's Bay Road and the geothermal, he has probably not been able to get down deep enough into some of those, and I'll try and help if there's any questions with those. So with that, Scott.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor and Council, thanks for having me here to update you on our capital projects. This is only the only active capital projects. It doesn't include CMMPs or things that we're working on that aren't actually active projects. On the front cover is the chlorine generator project that the utilities put together this summer, and it's up and running, and we're producing our own chlorine to treat our own water. It's in the phase of closeout now. We're going to close it out because we've completed the project. There is still a couple bugs that we're working through, but it's just growing pains and learning new systems and getting everything to work together. But it's a successful project and came in under budget. Bill mentioned, I've done a lot of work trying to get caught up on all the projects and see where we're at. We have 49 active projects. Probably my weakest area right now is the Captain's Bay Road and the geothermal. I see Steve's in the audience, so maybe he can chime in if we need him. But myself and Bill will try to answer any of those questions. If there is specific questions for the geothermal and the Captain's Bay Road, I do know some things. But if I don't know the answer, let's throw it at me and we'll take notes, and I'll make sure we get you guys the information that you're looking for. We got 49 active projects. We allocated $70,339,534 for all those projects. We're about halfway, not quite halfway through that funds. We still have $43,148,464 left to complete the projects. Don't see any reason why that's not enough to complete what we've got going. If not, or we run into problems, we'll certainly come and let you know right away. We've got 9 projects that are in the closeout phase. And that's one of myself and my team's goal is to get as many projects closed out, reasonably closed out in a reasonable time. We've got a couple of these that have been kind of hanging around for a while, so we're really working hard to get this down. But with those 9 projects, we'll be returning to their appropriate funds $1,173,298 will be returned that we completed those projects, and that was leftover funds. The general fund will receive $855,856. Electrical fund will receive $349. And the water fund is returning $218,093 back to its appropriate fund. With that, I'd like to highlight the projects that we're closing out first. And so on the list, the aerial ladder replacement project will be closing out. We're just waiting for parts to show up. There's no more invoicing that we're waiting for. We're just the parts actually came or were shipped once, and famous for our area, but it got lost somewhere on the way here. So they had to reissue us the new slings and So those are coming out of the manufacturer warehouse directly to here, and we're expecting them in November. So as soon as we receive those, we'll officially close that. The next one is the Kelty Field. That was an in-house project. And that was the drainage issue that we had out there. If you happen to drive by it now, you'll see the grass is growing. You can play on it, but we're still trying to be a little bit cautious. It's new grass, but by next year or next summer, spring, it should be a pretty robust field again, and we should be able to entertain on that just like we have in the past, and the drainage is working so far. Public library improvements, that was quite a project. We invested around $8 million on that one. We'll be returning $727,359 back to the fund. We're just waiting on a few invoices. Project's relatively done. There's just a couple small punch list items that should be taken care of here really shortly. The next one is the inventory shelving project for the supply department. That one's been a challenge to keep in operation while they're still shuffling, shelving, and product back and forth. We're just waiting for a couple more. Again, stuff got lost in the shipping out here. And we're just waiting for some shelves that are actually insert bins that go in between those shelves there. Then we go down to the USCSD playground. That project completed. Again, we're just waiting for a couple things to get, or the project's done. We're just waiting for the paperwork to catch up with closing the project out. Same with the heating repairs in the elementary school. That one's completed and up and running. And then the generator set rebuild that was done for FY23 has been completed. I believe they're already preparing to start working on the next round of rebuilds. Other one is the booster pump, General's Hill booster pump. We finally got that one completed. We've signed on off all the properties. It's all in the city's venue now. We are still waiting for a surveyor to come to town to put some corner stakes in. But as soon as he comes in, this one can be closed out. And then the pyramid chlorine plant, which I mentioned at the beginning, we'll be closing that one out shortly. Those are the 9 projects that we have closed out. Do you have any questions on those 9?
Councilman Robinson.
Just a comment. General's Hill, we first started that one back like in 1992. So it's kind of nice to see that finally done. It was pretty bad when they turned water on there, and it sucked instead of that water coming out of it.
Thank you. Yeah, the community that lives up there, the people that I have spoken are sure appreciative of it. Whenever I mention it, they don't wish us to mess with it, so you know, they don't want it to go away. It's quite a robust building. If you've ever had a chance, drive by it. If we're looking for a bomb shelter, that's probably one good place to go. It's a stout building. Other than that, there's just some rather than read every project that we have, unless council wishes me to, I'll just try to pick a few. The aquatic center roof, replacement roof. We've got, that was budgeted $445,000. We've used about $39,000 of that, and that's been just some repairs and maintenance to keep the membrane from leaking, and that was done years before. We're working with a firm now that's putting a plan together. The roof actually is not in bad shape. The membrane does need to be replaced. But along with that, we discovered a few other items There's no access to the roof, which is a requirement, so we got to get that done. And then also there needs to be some kind of a gutter or flare system on the side around the building, because the way the water drains off the building, it just runs right back into the building, which is potentially going to cause issues for us with siding and other things. So we're hoping, this is on schedule to be put out to bid probably in January, we're hoping. And then construction starting on it in first part of construction season this spring. Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, so I've noticed, and I don't know if this was found during the whole roofing thing, but part of the siding was off on the entryway there that was discovered. Was that part of this, or is that a totally different problem that they found, and has that been funded? Or there, what fund is that going to come from?
So that was a separate project. The guys went out to go see some issues and went to go do some replacement. And of course, once they got into one and kept digging, it turned into the whole vestibule, needed to have some work. Turned out, I believe that they've got a primary drain system and a secondary drain system on the roof. And the primary system on that edge was clogged, compromised in some form. So the secondary system was where the water was draining, which allowed it to be even more so over the vestibule. And so when we had them out doing the roof, looking at the roof to tell us, you know, next steps, we asked them to include that in the repairs. So that's why if you look at it now, it's just got a temporary, because there's a couple of options that we have to do that. I don't have an answer of if that's going to increase the budget yet. So we're still waiting for that report to come in. And as soon as we do receive that report, we'll let council know where we stand. I don't even want to guess if we're there or not, but the way things go, we'll probably be talking to you again about this. Ports. I am super excited about this one because this has been on my radar for, you know, my past experience and, of course, just growing up here and being here. But we have started working on the Robert Storrs A and B float improvement. We're working with PNND right now to get some to get us up to at least 65%, I think is what we're shooting for. We're close to 35% now, and that's really our first milestone, is to get to that 35%. Once we get there, we can start the permit process. We've got some contract conversations and stuff like that to go over, but shortly we should hit that 35% and then the permit process. And that is really probably the longest lead time. It's anywhere from 12 to 18 months to get the permits in place. There's conversation that we could maybe share some permits with some other companies that are doing some work here. So we're still looking at that. The tide lands, we've received the tide lands. We still need to do a survey of that to complete that transaction. And then we're currently working with Unicy to gain some tide lands up where the parking is, because that's all there. They own all that property, and we have some other tide lands that we would be able to exchange with them. Any questions on the small boat harbor project? Currently, we have about $6.5 million available for that project. And we'll be coming back more Peggy put in for a grant just before she left with the transportation department, I believe. And so that's just starting its beginning stages to see how that grant's going to go. We also this year take off on the chlorine generator. We're going to work with utilities to put a in pump house one and pump house two, a small chlorine generator system like we have in wastewater and the water pyramid water. Currently, they ship in gas for that, and it's just much safer if we generate our own chlorine gas. The water utilities, the electric utility meter read project, all the components are in. Where we're at on that is we're in the middle of it could speak in KWs or KWHs, but it hasn't yet been able to speak in the same language that our Munis program speaks to convert that into dollars. So we're in with IS and a utility or accounts payable to come up with a plan on how to get those to speak to each other so that that all could be an automated system. The Department of Public Safety Records Management System. That's actually another project that looks like it's finally reaching some success. Everything's purchased for that project, so we don't have any more, we shouldn't have any more expenditures, at least known. And they're on schedule. We're working on some GIS mapping right now to put different layers of, you know, whether it's your home or what inundation zones we need to be in, or anyway, just different layers in this GIS map of, you know, how many dogs you have, or mostly with the inundation zones and different zones that we have here. And once that's done, then they'll be able to implement that into the system. And they're planning on having some, they've started training and they've started working with some of the public safety people, but up through September, starting in September and then through the end of the year, probably November, December, they should be wrapping that training up. And hopefully starting to go live in some areas, testing out the system. Those are the main projects that that we have. We've got the park and rec study. That one's out there. They're scoring it and working through that to select the person that would best serve us to do that study. The breakwaters, bouncing around a little bit. The breakwater, we finally got a point person with the Corps that we're working with. They did come out and do earlier this year, they came out and did a ROVs and checked the chains and checked everything that's going on there. And they're working on developing a plan to reattach the surge chains is the issue. And then and we're working with them on that. So to get that finished and off the books, that's probably the oldest project that we have on here. The cruise study for the cruise ship terminal study, We're starting to work on that, and that might get tweaked a little bit. We're talking about a little bit more today, and that might get turned into or included to do a fee schedule study, as well as the needs and the uses of the facility. The light cargo dock dredging, we won't be able to really nail that project till we have the we know what needs to be done. We just need to know the parties that are coming up here to do the dredging for the entrance channel. And that entrance channel dredging is out for, the RFP is out, so they're waiting to hear who's gonna win that bid. Once we know that, then we'll be able to start pushing on this project again a little bit harder. Is there any specific questions on some of the other projects we have gone?
Councilman Robinson?
Yeah, the tax we had put on the E911 fund. You know what? How much we have in that fund, or how much is generated? That's, I think it's been roughly a year or more. And you can get back to me.
Yeah, that would be something that I'd have to get back to you. I don't know exactly. I do know that we are trying to use that as to support the E911. But as far as the dollar value and how much we have or how much we're earning, I can get that information, and I will.
Thank you.
Councilman Bell.
Pyramid Micro Turbines, packet page 114. Wait until it's up there, just so we're on the same page here.
You want a page? I'm sorry.
There you go. The last bullet point, the replacement of Victor 234 Bravo remaining. Is that a part that is still needs to be replaced, or?
No, it still needs to be installed. We have the part. That's a variable. It's a valve that will variably open to control the flow of the speed of the flow of the water into there, because we're coming from a 6 or 8 inch into a 6 inch. So we need to control that before it hits the turbine. So all that's left is we're working on trying to get an electrician in there to wire that in. And the distance is a little bit different. So we're welding up a spool, basically just a flange to fit in between that and the valve. But that one, actually, once we get that wired in and we get that welded in, it will be up for closing that project.
Does that valve control both turbines or one turbine, or what?
That valve, believe that there's one valve and then it splits from there into the turbines. So there's two separate turbines with one valve. Is that correct, Steve? Yeah. So it comes out of a big 8-inch, splits, or the valve will go there and then it goes down and splits into 4s for the turbines, or 6s, I'm sorry, for the turbines, and they each, one valve for both turbines.
Okay, so at this point, we don't have to either have them running, or I guess where I'm going with this is are they going to generate the power that we anticipated that they would? Are they going to live up to what our expectations are? And then I guess it's more of a rhetorical comment or question would be, you know, can we learn from this project where the errors happened, or what's happened to create a project that was more than double what it was originally intended to be? So thank you.
Councilman Bell, thank you. That will take some research for me to look into, but certainly we'll try to learn from every project that we work on to improve. And what I will look into to get back to you on is we'll look into what kind of power generation we'll get out of those when they're up and running, and if it is going to serve what we had anticipated it would when we originally thought of the project.
Question, Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious about the funds returning into the appropriate areas that they should be going to. Is there anything that should have been going back to the 1% sales tax fund out of any of these projects that are closing? I see that, you know, we have the general fund here, we have the electric fund, and even for the open projects, I don't see anything that was funded by that 1% sales tax that we set aside for capital projects. And so I'm just kind of curious.
I have to look, but I can recall that I think there were several years when we were preparing the CMMP that we almost forgot about that source. So I would hazard a guess that there were at least two years that we didn't use those funds, and these projects have been on the books, you know, from 4 to 10 years, which I've been looking at. But how they decide what fund goes to what when it's multiple percentage, I don't know. We find that out, because if indeed we would want to return the respective funds.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just, you know, wanted to see if we were paying attention to that so that it does go back to that if we did allocate it from there so that we can use it later if we need to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Sorry, didn't mean to stop on you there. If you do have further questions or something comes up, just send me an email or send it through Bill, and I'll get you the answers as soon as we can. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Thanks very much. Do we have, does anyone present wish to speak on capital on this project? City Clerk, has anyone submitted anything in writing or on Zoom?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Request a motion and a second to return to regular session.
Move to go into back to regular session.
I'll second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson and second by Councilman Luby. There's no objection. We'll be going back to regular session at 7:04 p.m. Our next item is our consent agenda. There are three items. Absent a request from council to move one or more items to the regular agenda for discussion, the consent agenda is adopted without discussion and with a single vote.
Yeah. I would request that we move 12B, Resolution 2023-37, to the regular agenda.
To make a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
Been moved by Councilman Robinson to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
And seconded by Councilman Bell. And with that, we have resolution 2337. We'll move to the regular agenda. So we only have two items on the consent agenda, the resolution 2023-36, appointing the judges and clerks for the regular municipal election on October 3rd, 2023, and judges to serve on the canvas committee. The other is resolution 2023-38, approving the 20-year land lease between the City of Onalaska and Erskoe Consortium Incorporated for a core station on the portion of Lot 1 Natal Subdivision, Path 9532. We moved and seconded. And so request a roll call vote on the consent agenda.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tongo?
Yes.
roll call vote of 5-0. The consent agenda has been approved. I'll move. We're now in regular session. Person wishing to speak on regular items, agenda items, must sign up with the city clerk with a 3-minute time limit per person. First item is the J&G Airport Restaurant LLC liquor license application. Councilor Pocket contained a memo from staff reviewing the application. The liquor license for J&G Airport Restaurant LLC. Staff recommends no action. Does anyone want to make a motion? Hearing no motion, we'll move on. Turn over to city manager.
Okay, so we're on the alcohol permit. I'm not sure what we just did. The city was notified by the Bureau of Alcohol and Marijuana Control that the previously approved liquor license transfer from Tuyen and Tran Din to Johnny and Genevieve Rabinal was inaccurate. And so here we have the amended permit in front of us for the same business. So the new business is compliant with their obligations to the city, reporting payment for all their taxes, and they work with courts and the state on their leasing arrangement. So the staff recommendation is no action, and I concur with that. No protest, I should say.
Good, thank you. What's that, Councilman Thomas?
I'm just asking or reporting that the consent agenda on be the last agenda.
He was asking where he put that consent item that we moved to the regular agenda. It'll be the last item on the regular agenda. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Council discussion on this J&G Airport Restaurant LLC liquor license. Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Do we have to have a motion?
No, we don't.
Only if there's action, right? Okay. No protest. Okay.
We just move on, Mayor, to our next agenda item.
Okay, thanks. My notes are mixing it. Next item is item B, Dutch Harbor Cannabis Company Marijuana Establishment License Application. I have a motion and a second to submit a conditional protest to the application of Dutch Harbor Cannabis LLC for a retail marijuana establishment in Unalaska. Due to the applicant not securing either building permit or business license as required by Unalaska. Make a motion and second.
Make a motion to submit a conditional protest for this establishment.
Moved by Constance Robinson. Do I have a second?
I'm sorry, second.
Second by Councilman Bell. I'll turn this over to city manager for introduction.
Thank you. So this matter is before us. The same reason as last, the Bureau of Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office has notified us that there has been an application for a permit to approve this establishment. The two potential reasons why you might object, in fact, lack of securing a building permit and or a business permit. They're not going to get a business permit until they get approved. And the building permit is currently under review in our office down at Public Utilities and Public Works. And that will be forthcoming. So there's not really a reason to not issue the building permit. So I just let you know that. And so basically we would recommend that you give it the right on the page line here. Submit a conditional protest as set out on the attached document. They're not ready, but then when those are satisfied, it's not an issue. And I concur with that.
Councilman Robinson.
So the conditions are that they obtain that building permit and they obtain the business license. And I can only take it because I haven't attended the planning commission meeting. But when does that expect? When do you expect to be able to issue the permit or get through that? Is there a reason that needs to go through planning or?
Doesn't need to go through planning. It's just basically the site and they're building it and they're meeting all the setbacks and the requirements from planning. And then in parking, of course, any commercial kind of licenses and permits, certainly the state issues. And that's one of the things that are focused on in public works managed. So all of that has to come together, the fire marshal, state building permit, and of course our zoning permit, which is really what we're issuing for them to be operational.
Right, and then the city has until September 17th to issue a formal objection, correct?
I believe that is the case. Sure.
You know. So what happens if the state comes back and that's not, those conditions aren't met by September 17th? Is this something that's just going to have to hang on to and continue on?
Mayor, if I may, I think the deadline of September 17th is for the local government body to submit a protest, if I'm not mistaken. But I have Assistant City Manager Mari G. Leader in here to speak to that, if you need her to.
It does say the deadline for the city to protest is September 17th. So I think that's why we're suggesting it be a conditional, you know, with the protest. That's our comment period.
Right, and we don't know what the state fire marshal is going to do yet, do we?
Well, I don't have a report on that. However, the guiding thing here is if those are met, they can open. If they don't get a permit from us, they can't open, even if they have all the other permits. You know, so they have to satisfy our land and building requirements and the state's building requirements. I think this is more of a, I can say that municipalities have been getting these kinds of requests to respond to applications, but for whatever reason, they don't really carry a lot of no power. Kind of, you know what I mean? It's like they are obligated to let us know that there's an application. But I don't know that we have a lot of reasons that we can say no, unless indeed they build it and then they don't want to get a business license. I don't think that will happen. So it's really down to the building permitting process, I think. Or if we approve it and they don't get approved by the state, well, then they're in a jam over that way.
So, yeah, just I asked that because I just need to confirm that the motion I made is going to protect the city in that event, and it looks like it will. Thank you.
It will.
Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I'm going to support this motion. As we're all aware of, or many of us aware of, is that this community has overwhelmingly supported potential commercial marijuana operations in this town. And so my objection is not necessarily with a commercial operation, but that being said, whoever wants to start that business still needs to dot their I's and cross their T. And that's why I will support this. Thank you.
Councilman Coleman.
So back to the building permit. I mean, who's holding up the building permit issuance? I mean, I'd hate to go down this avenue if they did this in due time and it's us who's not going through with the building permit.
I think this, what you see is the timing here. I mean, they have their state permitting that they're getting. At the same time, they're getting their permitting from us. And while they're doing that, we're communicating back and forth with the state agencies.
So it's in process. I don't think we're holding it up. It's just the timing. They've applied, and this is when it hit for this. Maybe they thought they'd be done sooner, but we've had to make a few requests for some additional information.
But the protest is that part of it is that they haven't received the building permit. So you can see that they haven't received a building permit because they haven't done their due diligence to do it, or we haven't, or they didn't give us enough time. I mean, I guess if you know, agree to a protest like this, I want to make sure that they have done, that they are doing what they are supposed to do, and it's not by their fault that they haven't received the building permit yet. I can't answer to that. Yeah, the license, that's a different, but.
I understand. Honestly, like I said, I think some of these things are formalities. I mean, you want to comment. If you don't comment, that's, the opportunity goes away. I think we want to just make sure that, like you're saying, if they're in the process, we're not dinging them for anything. It's just we have to respond by a given date. So, and though I know everything's in process, if they don't get their permission from the state, example, if it's the fire suppression system or something, they won't sign off on that. Well, they're not going to be able to open. But that's not us prohibiting them. So they've met the requirements for the site plan.
So it sounds to me that this is more of a kind of a formality, and as a business owner myself, it's hard to get all of the stars to align at the same time. And it sounds like they're doing everything they should be, and we're doing everything we should be, and it's just a timing thing, like you said. I don't like the idea of actually contesting it because of that, that everything is coming together. And even if they get their license, and they, you know, don't get the building permit for some reason because of the fire marshals, whatever, or they don't get their business license, they're still not going to be able to open, even though,
right,
you know, not in the city of Unalaska because they haven't followed that. So I don't feel like, unless I'm missing something, that the protest really benefits anything. If anything, I kind of feel like it might be more of a detriment to them, maybe, saying that we're protesting it. I don't know.
Marjorie is still mentoring us, Carlin, so we're going to call her up here in that capacity. And I know she's looked into this far more than I have in terms of requirements, timing, submittals. I believe this is one of these procedural words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to choose from dot A, B, or C. But Margie.
Thank you, Mr. Honka. So the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office has already given them a conditional approval on August 23rd and 24th at their meeting. But it was conditional pending the local government's opportunity to lodge a protest. I spoke with the representative at AMCO and told them, you know, the only two things that I can see that maybe they have not complied with yet are the building permit and the business license. And he said, well, those are great. Those would be solid reasons to do a protest. The building permit is in process. I think it's pretty close. City's not holding it up. We're waiting on the applicant to continue to provide information. And I think we're also waiting on the fire marshal's review. I don't think the fire marshal can review until the building permit is issued. Is that correct? No?
No,
there's wrong in that. Okay. Part of the building permit process. Now, the protest that we're recommending is conditional. As soon as those conditions are cleared, then the local government protest will no longer exist, and AMCO is free to give them their permanent license, rather than the conditionally approved license that they have right now. Does that answer your questions?
That, I mean, it makes sense what you're saying. It's still, I don't feel like that we should protest it. You know, that I don't think there's a reason for it, really.
So,
I mean, and one reason would be even the business license. You know, they shouldn't do a business license until they are ready to open for business. If it takes them 2 years to build this,
you know, you don't want to get a business license until you're ready to open, right? So that would be something that they, you know, everything has to line up to open. This is just one step in the process. And I just know that there's lots of different processes to go through. And it's really nice when you can say, okay, this one's put to bed, I'm done, let me continue on. And that's just as a business owner, you know, somebody that works through some of those processes that I have a hard time protesting it. So,
well, the applicants did complete the lengthy and very detailed and application process with the state, with all of the documents and certifications and all everything that's required for the state. They did complete that. But they don't have a building permit yet, and I don't suppose that anybody wants them to build anything without a building permit, right? Mm-hmm. We also don't want them to go into business without a business license, right? They have not met those things. It's not a this provisional protest, shall we call it? How are we wording it in the letter? It's a conditional protest. And we also say at the end of the letter that the city expects the applicant can meet these requirements within a reasonable period of time. We're not, you know, burning them at the stake or, you know, saying don't come to Onalaska with your commercial, your retail marijuana facility. But they do have to meet those requirements. And these are solid reasons, according to the AMCO representative, that the local government would issue a conditional protest. As soon as the conditions are met, they'll get their license.
So can I just interject here? I think what I'm hearing is we have from at least from Sherry, or for, excuse me, from Deneen, we, even though we're recommending that as staff and we can do it, you're questioning whether we should even bother, because I think based on some of the other conversation, there's other hoops to be met. And I think that's like, that's your prerogative. I don't think we have to respond, but we were just looking out for our interests. So that would be, that's why it's up to you and it's our recommendation.
Councilman Coleman, Councilman Dungle.
Thank you, just a quick question, sorry. Is there a time frame from the point, I mean, you said that they get these things within a reasonable amount of time for us. Is there anything, AMCO, the alcohol board, is there any, so they have their, they've given them their blessing and they're just waiting on us. Is there a timeline from that? Like, does it expire at a certain time or whatever? I mean, like,
do you mean the provisional license that they've been granted already?
Yes. So they've been approved and blah, just based on
that's whatever. A level of detail I'm not sure about.
See, so that's kind of where I'm right. Like, I know that's the question I would like to know. Let me answer, because the timeline, if it's like, oh, it's only in 6 months and then you have to start all over again or something like that, I don't know, because that's, yeah, that would be my question.
Councilman Tango.
I think I got kind of same question with a conditional law. Is there a expiration on that conditional law?
The conditional protest would expire when the conditions are met.
Yeah, so there's no expiration date on that one. They can go. We're not cutting them up on a certain date. They just gotta keep.
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
So is there a time frame limit for them to do this? Where we're gonna start?
Is there a timeline that they have to meet these conditions?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm aware of, other than, you know, they can't continue building until they get a building permit. And they can't start business until they get a business license. But if there's other AMCO deadlines, you know, like their temporary license is going to expire, I don't know.
So what's the September 17th?
That's the deadline for the local government to issue our protest.
Oh, that.
September 17th is the city's deadline to say if we have any problem with this retail marijuana license.
I've asked Karen to.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. So what we have here is we have the marijuana board, the alcohol and marijuana board, issued a conditional permit. And all we're saying is, yes, we have our blessing if you meet these two conditions. That's all we're saying. It's not protesting, you know, that we don't want it. Nowhere in that in that letter, it doesn't say that we don't want it. All it is saying, look, meet these conditions and you have a blessing. That's all it is. And I think we need to protect what the timeline that the city has to protest this. All we're saying is meet these two conditions. And we have only until September 17th to do that. To do that, if you know, and I think their biggest problem is going to be getting the fire marshal to sign off on that building permit, because the fire marshal has been so far behind on anything and everything that they do. But that's not our problem, and I don't think there is a hard deadline anywhere in that application that I'm aware of. So meet the conditions, and the protest goes away. That's all this is. It's pretty simple, straightforward.
Thank you, Councilman Bell.
I guess a thought just came to me, and I appreciate the Assistant City Manager's information on this. The thought came to me is if the ACE and the Marijuana Control Board already has a conditional permit, our conditional permit would simply be another layer of government regulation on top of what the conditional permit that already exists. Either way, though, if they meet the conditions of either, then they're free to operate their business. So I don't know that it really matters one way or the other. If they meet all their requirements, they're still going to be able to open a business. Just food for thought.
Good. Further questions for anyone? Up in Smoke.
There's there's no extra burden on them at all. Zero extra burden, period.
Okay, discussion of the council are pretty much over. City Clerk, has anyone signed up for a public comment?
No, sir. No one indicated that they wanted to.
Okay, I'll restate the motion. The approval of the cannabis, Dutch Harbor Cannabis Marijuana Establishment License Application. And the motion was to submit a conditional protest to the application of Dutch Harbor Cannabis Company, LLC, for a retail marijuana establishment in Unalaska. Due to the applicant not securing either a building permit or business license as required in Unalaska. It was moved and seconded. Request roll call vote.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Luby?
No.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
No.
Motion fails. With three yeses and two noes. That's not four. Right?
Yes.
So the motion fails. Therefore, we'll bring it back. Or what do we do with it?
Yeah.
I don't know when does it come back up again. Do we set the date?
No.
Oh, okay. Motion fail. Next item is resolution 2023-34 approving the vacation of Lavelle Court and the combination of Block 1 and Reservoir Hill subdivision plat 9212 and Block A of Unalaska Pedestrian Pathway Plat 9714. Do I have a motion second to adopt resolution 2023-34?
Move to adopt resolution 2023-34.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Tungle. Turn us over to City Manager for introductions.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. The Unalaska, this matter started in May with a council directive after a presentation about the clinic and its work that is happening over there. And as I always do, I preface with, I'm currently the president of the clinic. Not that I have any, this is your decision to make here, but I want to make sure everyone recognizes that I've stated that conflict here. So with trying to process the site that we call the skate park site, it's often overflow parking for either what we're doing or oftentimes a clinic, they came forward and requested site control for the skate park site. It's been going on 5 months and trying to just get a surveyor out here, because it was my own recommendation to you all that we actually replat it, do it clean, and get a whole new legal and boundary and amend the lease so we have all up-to-date documents. Our code, unbeknownst to me, our code also requires that council take an action to vacate property. Plats vacate easements, boundaries, anything within it. It's like a duplicative measure, but a lot of times communities do it so you can always find where, why there was a street and now it's gone. Plats, you know, you can't readily search. And so that's an action that a lot of times we put in there as a resolution, but we're very, it's actually in our code to bring it to you for a vacation. So as we wait for the drawings to be done and all of that and be presented to you, wanted to get the issue on for the vacation of the roads per our code. So, and that's what's before you tonight.
Councilman Coleman.
Do we have any utilities in that room?
No. As I've tried, I've tried to stay away from it, so I've had planning to look into this, but Thomas, can you come up, please?
Hi, there's just the service lines for the clinic.
Councilman Robinson.
So again, back to the 90s, I'm glad we're seeing this used for what we thought, what we planned on using it back way back then, and it's for an expansion of a clinic, and I think it's a really good use. You know, it's just, it's good to see. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing that facility expand greatly.
Councilman Coleman.
So back to the utilities. Sorry. So I'm just trying to, like, so we own and we have utilities in that road, and I take it that was our responsibility at that time. Are we going to vacate then our responsibility for that, for the assets that are now in that to the clinic, that if something was to happen, then they are now responsible for it? I mean, so it seems like I don't know where the cutoff, I don't, you know, the water, the meat, the readers, all that kind of fun stuff that might be, you know, like when you normally service to a private lot, you would have their responsibility, blah, blah, blah. So if that is in the roadway and then it now becomes basically goes over to the clinic, I'm just kind of curious later on if there's going to be, I don't know, I'm just thinking ahead, we're trying to, that it should there be some way to, I don't know. I'm done.
If I may, if they're speaking as a planner, if there are those matters in there, those all come out with plat, because there would be, not only would our right of way say that there's a sewer in there, we're going to have, there's an easement there. And I'm trying to pull up GIS right now to see what it is, and it's taking forever. But like I said, if we, our public right of way is often used for easements. We try not to do that here. So typically they're in, like, all along Broadway, we're trying to locate things outside the paved area, for example, but we would have to put an easement in there if indeed it was still public. And we wouldn't want to build on it either, so we want to know where that is.
Yes, thanks, Councilman Luby.
So these lots still remain city property, correct? And so the city would still be responsible for any utilities in there anyway?
Correct.
So it wouldn't make a difference, really. If there were utilities there, we would still be responsible for maintaining them, right? Because it's not owned, it wouldn't be owned by the clinic.
I believe, and Noel, if our clinic CEO is here, if he'll come up and address that. I'm trying to remember what the actual request was. I thought it was for site control through probably amending a 99-year lease like we have on the other site.
And they would be responsible for anything inside the site.
I'm going to let Noel answer.
Well, first answer, it's above my pay grade. But, you know, I think, well, because we don't have a plan as to what is going to, how everything's going to sit, my guess is everything in that area is going to get turned up in some way and will have to be rerouted. And, but I think we'll do whatever it takes. We don't want to kind of create this poison pill that the city, that, you know, hold over you in some way. That certainly wouldn't be the intention. So I think once building or buildings or whatever is plotted, then we'll look at, I'm assuming we're going to have to lose some of those utilities anyway, just given everything that has to turn over. But whatever you would want to do, I'm sure we'd take responsibility for it. I'd have to look at the lease that is now. I think it's for just where we are. It's, I don't know if utilities are even mentioned. This was 30, this was back in the 90s when they did it. So it may already be there or not there. Sorry, I don't have a better answer for that.
The utilities weren't there when we did the plat in the 90s. We platted it. We filled the thing in, then we platted it, and then we got the funding ready for City Hall and the clinic. They were all built after the plat.
Further comments? Resolution 2023-34. Okay. We had council discussion. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion to approve a resolution 2023-34 approving the vacation of the Lavelle Court and Combination Block 1 of Reservoir Hill Subdivision, Plat 9212, and Block 1A of Unalaska Pedestrian Pathway, Plat 9714. See, I'll request a roll call vote.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
A roll call vote of 5 yes and 0 nay. With this vote, the council has adopted resolution 2023-34. Next item is ordinance 2023-09, amending the Unalaska Code of Ordinance, Title 3, Personnel, Chapter 3.52.010, Personal Leave Accrual Plan. I have a motion and a second to introduce Ordinance 2023-09 and schedule it for a public hearing and second reading on September 26, 2023.
I move to introduce Ordinance 2023-09. And schedule it for a public hearing and second reading on September 26, 2023.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle and seconded by Councilman Coleman. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The matter before you, as you remember, came up out of a discussion in an effort to try and do some more traction, and then when further discussion from you all and other direction from council, as well as some staff members, we've looked at this and determined that most of the folks that we were processing applications for were former employees, not new, and B, how could we express that appreciation for coming back and offering basically the amount of vacation time where they were in the steps when they left. We've looked into that, and this is the matter before you. I'm recommending approval. It will apply to everyone. It's not going to just apply to exempt or directors or executives. So that is a change, and that's what we're offering.
Thank you. Council discussion? Councilman Bell?
I can support what is here. This is what we talked about last time when we were talking about similar ordinance. I have a query that I would put in front of the staff would be, is if in the future the city were to rehire someone that was terminated for cause or had some negative entries in a personnel file that we would that we hire back, that doesn't seem like that would be the person that we want to credit back those years of prior service. Granted, it's going to be a very, very small number, but it has happened. I believe it has. So the question would be, do we need language in there to address something like that? Or would we simply just credit them back any years prior service?
I haven't talked to legal. It's the first time I've thought of this or heard this kind of concept. But, you know, in my opinion, if I was going to make a hire, and I am going to believe that that can be either overcome or remediated, I'm not going to hold something against the person and still separate them out. I mean, I think any department director or myself is going to make a hire knowing that, full disclosure, those are issues. I think the concern needs to be more about the quality of the person and the work they're doing. And, you know, I can't see differentiating them from the beginning as some sort of temporary or conditional, or let's create another classification employee. I really wouldn't want to go there.
Councilman Robinson?
I don't see a problem in it. And just for what Bill said is, people may get fired because of personal conflicts between the manager and whoever they are. They may have been a good employee, but maybe the manager wasn't, didn't look on them too well. And if, you know, I would think that if the city manager were to hire somebody that was terminated for cause, his reputation, his job would be pretty much on the line. If that guy fails again, or that person fails again. So, I mean, I'm not too worried about it. I don't think it'll happen very often, if at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Tongo?
I'll be in full support of this. I think returning employees, they earn this and deserve whatever they invest from years before. So I think it's just fair for them to continue on the years that they serve and start getting what they supposed to get like everybody else. So I'll be in full support of this.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Councilman Luby, Councilman Coleman. Bill?
I'll just say good discussion. I just wanted to bring the point up. So, you know, it is possible to get too wordy in ordinances and contracts and all that stuff. Just having that discussion, I think we laid that one to bed. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Thank you. I'll restate the motion. Motion was to approve Ordinance 2023-09, amending Unalaska Code of Ordinances, Title 3, Personnel, Chapter 3.52010, Personnel Leave Act, Rural Plan. Moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
A roll call vote of 5 yeas and 0 nays. Ordinance 2023-09 has been approved. And it's moved, introduces the schedule for public hearing and second reading on September 26, 2023. Next item is travel approval for the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council meeting on October 2nd to the 10th of 2023 in Anchorage, Alaska.
Make a motion to send authorize the mayor and up to 3 council members attend the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council October 2nd through 10th.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson and seconded by Councilman Coleman to move to approve the mayor and 3 council to attend the North Pacific Fisheries Council meeting in October. Moved and seconded. I guess who wants to travel? Long?
I'll be interested in going to the
Councilman Luby. Oh, yeah, you can come.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious. I saw some emails about travel reports, and are we all current on our travel reports for travel?
I know there's some outstanding travel reports from various members.
Okay, just kind of curious where we were. Thank you.
Thank you. Vaughn?
I'm interested in this. This one is going to be another heated one. They've got the bycatch issue on this one, and they'll determine whether or not the size of the king crab fishery or the king crab season this coming year. But that bycatch issue is going to be hitting hard and heavy, and I'd like to be there to be able to counter any extreme attacks on what is already being done.
That's the Crystal Bay Red Crab. Any other one? The 2 so far, plus the mayor. Okay, hearing no other comments or request that the roll call vote.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5-0 yes and 0 nays, the travel has been approved for the city, for the mayor and 2 council, Councilman Tungo and Councilman Robinson, to travel for the North Pacific Fisheries Management meeting in October 2nd to the 10th. Are there any directives or city manager?
We have one more.
We got the last one.
We have a couple more items on the agenda, Mayor, as amended. We have travel approval for ASA/joint AML meeting and the resolution that was pulled from the consent agenda, resolution 2023-37.
We will take up the travel one. Councilman Robinson,
I'm requesting that I get the city paid my way for this meeting. You know, being an AML board member, and I've served on the legislative committee for a number of years already on with the AML. This issue is you know, we're going to be meeting with the Alaska Superintendents Association for Schools, and to discuss instead of strategy for what affects schools at the state level, so we could push those items forward during the next legislative session. I think it's important, one, having the governor veto the 50% of the increase that the school was really looking forward to, statewide. And so, yeah, I'm just requesting that I'd be allowed to travel to that.
When is that?
I'm sorry, it's from September 27th through the 30th.
Motion to stay.
Want to make a motion to approve travel for Vice Mayor Robinson on the SA joint meeting from 27th to the 30th of September.
Moved by Councilman Bungo. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilman Coleman. And this is for travel regarding the AML joint meeting with the Alaska Superintendent Association. Important to us in that the communities lose money in schooling in the school system. So I think it's justified. roll call. Council Coleman? No.
Thank you. Would you be remaining in, are you going to plan on traveling that year because you're attending the council meeting? Are you planning on traveling back here and then going back over there again?
That would, okay. Yeah, it would be foolish. It'd be, I could stay.
The airfare thing.
Right.
Sure. Be covering your hotel during the.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. I think I'm pretty sure I can be with my daughter and grandchildren on those days, so it wouldn't cost the city anymore.
AML is reimbursing the city for the travel that the city pays as part of their travel, since she is one of the board members. It's something we found out just recently, so. Nothing we lose on, but I would agree to find a place, a tent or something for a couple of days. Okay. Councilman, city manager? Was it? Anybody else? It was moved and seconded. I asked for a roll call. On the request for AML joint meeting.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
We'll call vote of 5-0. The motion passes. Next item is for ordinance 37. Resolution. Okay. That's the one removed out of the consent agenda.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2023-37.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Tungo. I'll turn this over to this. City manager to introduce.
Oh, thank you. So this is a title lease that is being executed between the city of Unalaska and Unalaska Corp. Unalaska Corp will then sublease it to a tenant. We have a 30-year lease up for recommendation. Of course, anything in excess of 5 years requires approval from city council. Staff is working approval, and I concur with that.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Bell.
So the reason why I moved this to the regular agenda or asked or requested it for be moved to the regular agenda is looking at what's provided in the package, which outlines the area, the Tideland area in question. And with some pictures from the other day of what is going on out there, it appears that part of that Tideland area has already been partially filled in. So what I'm going with this is, and there's a minority voices, not very many, that
feel that the city's bending over backwards for Trident. And if we move forward with this and disregard or not even look into whether there's already being some work done without permits or without even a lease being in place, that the city should at least look into it and see if there's anything there, or if the entities that are doing the construction out there are moving ahead without the proper permits. I don't necessarily have any opposition to the Tideland lease. It's just, it doesn't look good when the land is already filled in before a Tideland lease is approved. I mean, what if we were to, for some reason, not approve the Tideland lease? What are they going to do? Go out there and dig up all that dirt and then go, hey, can we have a Tideland lease? So the first thing would be to verify that the area that is filled in matches with what the Tideland lease looks like and what's going on. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further comment? No, city manager?
I didn't know if there was a... We can certainly look into what the status is, and I have Thomas Rufus up here from planning. I do know that they jumped the gun on the bunkhouses before the permits were approved, and I addressed that. I wasn't sure if this was part of that or if this is something new. So, Thomas, do you have any insight, please?
Sure. So I haven't been down there since they've started filling this portion, so we'll need to see exactly how far they've gone down the road. But as part of this permitting process, they do have all of their appropriate core permits for this work. So for all of the fill that's is already planned and is going to be going in there has already been approved by all of the other entities. And then in order to not hold up the process, we gave them a approval to go in there and begin doing the fill process, because as far as the leasing goes, what comes up in front of council is that you're approving the extension beyond 5 years. They would be able to come to us and acquire a 5-year lease without needing to go in front of council for that work. So instead of holding up this process and making this process take longer, we've gone down there with the appraiser. He's actually seen the area. He's taken photos. We've taken photos. So we have all of the information and everything that everyone needs in order to make their decisions. In order to allow them to move forward with work, we gave them a okay to put in the fill. If council does not approve the extended period of this lease, it would be effectively on the table for them to apply for a 5-year lease, which would be approved administratively through the manager's office.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's a good explanation of the process and what's going on with this whole project. Thank you.
Councilman Tongo?
So they can fill it up before you even before you sign the 5-year lease. Is that what you... They can start working on it before
because of the limited timelines that they have at this in this project, and this is something that we do for people on a fairly regular basis. Is we do try to work with our applicants in order to make sure that we are the permitting entity are not getting in the way of any work unnecessarily. So this is something that we allowed as a give and take in this process.
So when do you start building?
I'm sorry.
When's the building starts on when they start building it up without any lease until it get approved or signed up?
The billing. Okay. So the billing is going to be based on give me 1 second to pull up my lease document here. I believe it's from the day they started. We have a July date on there from when they put in the application.
Thank you. That's all.
Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I just make a comment to the Councilman Bell's comment about that the city's bending over backwards for Trident. This is a OC lease, not a Trident lease. So there's a little bit of a difference, even though I know that they're going, OC is going to turn around and lease it. But, you know, if anybody's concerned, this really is, we're providing a lease to OC. And what they do with it is their business. They could turn around and decide to lease it to somebody other than Trident. They could give it to OSI. We don't know for sure. So in a year, they could have a 1 year lease and turn it over to someone else. But I just wanted to make that comment that it really was a lease between the city and OC. Thanks.
Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, this falls in line. This falls in the 30-year falls in line with the previous titlelands that we had with OC last meeting. So I think it's staying very consistent, and I don't see a problem with that.
Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. I support this fully. You know, the permits are in place. The request for the lease was already done. The manager could do a 5-year lease. All this before is the council is to extend that to a 30-year lease. And I don't remember, and I can't remember any time that the city of Unalaska had turned down a lease for Tidelands. And prior to that, I don't believe the state of Alaska has ever turned down a Tidelands lease in its history. So it'd probably be a first, and it would probably spark a pretty good lawsuit. So I support this.
Thank you. Any further comment from the council? Okay. Does anyone present wish to speak? Anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No one indicated.
Thank you. Okay, we'll ask for a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Mayor. Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
A roll call vote of 5 yeses and 0 nays. Resolution 2023-37 has been approved. That's the last one. Okay. I think we're council directives to the city manager. Are there any directives that need to be done in a motion? Moved and seconded. Hearing none, move on. Community input and announcement. This is a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to inform the public that absentee voting starts tomorrow morning. You can stop by the city clerk's office to vote absentee in person. Or if you anticipate to be out of town, you can apply for an absentee ballot via email or via fax. And also for KUCB, they're doing their candidates forum here at City Hall on September 14. That's a Thursday at 6 p.m. So people who are interested in watching, they can stop by City Hall and catch it live.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Robinson?
Yes, on October 25th, we still have Lieutenant Colonel Nahom. He is the head of NORAD and also of the, he's the commander of the 11th Airborne out of J-Bear, and a large contingent of military folks who are coming in to visit Unalaska. Roughly from, it's like between 10 and 2 or 3 or in the afternoon. They're going to be on the ground for a short bit. But So yeah, it just the trilateral is supposed to be getting this stuff together. So 25th of October.
We make it back from the October meetings. All right, thank you. Any further comments? Okay, no further announcements? Anything on Zoom or phone?
No, sir.
All right, thank you. Having completed all items on the agenda, we are now adjourned at 8.07 p.m. Amen. Amen. Good night, Donald.